The story of Jesus in the Capernaum synagogue inaugurates the first day of his ministry that consists of exorcisms and healings. The story reflects contemporary Jewish thought that the coming of God's kingdom would mark the defeat of evil, which is personified in an array of demons and unclean spirits. Jesus' word is so powerful that people abandon their occupations and follow him, and even the demonic are powerless before him. Jesus also summons people to a change of heart, to take a new look at their lives and put their trust in the gospel of salvation. This is not simply a story from the past, but one that continues to speak powerfully and prophetically to people today. On this fourth Sunday, both the first reading and the gospel raise the issue of authority over evil for those who speak the word of God. This authority commands both the seen and the unseen world. Spiritual substances devoid of matter are called angels. They are not fairies or fantasies of the imagination. Being utterly spiritual, we often depict them in paintings as beings with wings on account of their ability to move, or even as fat little cherubs sitting on clouds. But the problem is, after all, how does one depict an invisible spiritual person? It is reasonable to suppose that a multitude of angels exist, far exceeding the number of material beings. I think so, yes. For being superior creatures as such, they should be more numerous in kind and number. Also, angels being incorruptible substances means that they cannot die, decay, break up, or be changed. It is not uncommon for someone to believe in angels, but not demons or devils. However, if one exists, both exist, or none at all. Do I really believe in the devil? Now, if by the devil you infer a power opposite to God and like him, self-existent and all-powerful, the answer is clearly no. God alone is the only uncreated all-powerful being. God has no opposite or dark side, as portrayed in Star Wars. Now, do I believe in demons, of which one is called the devil? I do. That is to say, I believe in angels that during their test by God, our life is our test, some rebel by their own free will and are now called God's enemies for all eternity. These are the demons or fallen spirits. In their nature, they are the same as the angels, yet deprived of goodness, truth, and beauty. So demons oppose angels, and Satan is at war with Saint Michael, the archangel. Being a fallen creature, an unseen, depraved person, demons are limited in their abilities and power. As such, they do not possess divine or supernatural powers. Yet, their nature vastly differs to our composite nature of body and soul, matter and spirit. Their actual powers do influence us, but they're limited. Here's a list of some of the things they can do. They can produce visions in the imagination. They can take the appearance of any physical being. They can falsify ecstasy and fake cures. They can produce light and heat in the body. They can cause sensible consolations and tenderness in the emotions. They can seemingly cause objects to disappear or even move. They can cause a person to speak in foreign languages. They can cause all types of sounds and voices, things that go bump in the night. For the most part, however, these evil spirits are limited in their activity concerning us humans. So diabolical activities such as obsession, infestation, and possession aren't that common. What is of great concern and most significant is how angels and demons influence our behavior by means of our imagination and the usage of our memory. So be mindful of that. Most of their activity occurs within, in our thought pattern, or not so much thought pattern, but our pondering, our imagining. Temptations in the imagination are never sins, for Jesus was tempted but did not sin. So temptations can come, sometimes from the dark side. We need to fight them and ask for God's grace to overcome them. We also should be mindful of how the memory can be distorted. Evoking past images, creating new ones, are a tremendous power that demons have over us. We therefore ask God to heal us of past memories and hurts, but also to assist us not to be too fanciful in our imagination, not to be too idle so as to allow ourselves to be tempted, but to be always wary of the presence of the dark side and to seek God's grace. The temptations that come to the imagination can cause all types of upset. And if it loses control over the will, it's almost like a capricious as the pages of a book that are left open to the mercy of the wind, were tossed here and there. So we ask God's presence, God's almighty power, and the loving gaze of Jesus to look upon us, help us, and heal us now and always.